Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And today we are previewing the United Football League 2024 season. We thought it would never get here, at least the schedule release, but the schedule has been released a few weeks ago. And finally, so we can go over all the games. There's 40 regular season games, two conferences, and we'll break down how the schedule works for each of the games. Just a follow-up on the Super Bowl, which was this past weekend. What a game. Obviously, we had, 120 million people watching. The Chiefs defeat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime. It was the second overtime Super Bowl of all time. The first under the current rules where each team had a chance to get the ball, and it didn't disappoint. It went all the way down to almost the final play at the end of the overtime period. If you recall, the previous overtime game was the Patriots versus the Falcons in Super Bowl, I believe it was Super Bowl 51, when the Falcons had that huge lead, 28-3 over the Patriots. And, of course, the Patriots, spoiler alert, the Patriots came back and won 34-28, scoring, let me see, they obviously scored 25 points in the fourth quarter and then 6 points in overtime. Now, the difference between that game and this game was Patriots, they won the, I believe they won the toss, or they had the first possession of the overtime. They went down and they scored, and the Falcons, and they won the game. The Falcons were unable to get a possession in the overtime because of the rules then. Thankfully, the rules have changed because, and I was wondering this too during the game, but each team in overtime has an opportunity to possess the ball. And the 49ers took their possession and went downfield and kicked a field goal. Had they scored a touchdown, though, the game would not have been over. Under the current rules, the Chiefs would have had a chance to possess the ball after that. And if both teams would have scored a touchdown or been tied with a field goal, or they were tied after the first possession of overtime, then the next possession would have been considered sudden death. So the first team to score after each team possessed the ball would win, the first team that scored. So what a game. The Chiefs are now, I mean, I guess you could say officially a dynasty. Patrick Mahomes, third Super Bowl MVP. It's 6 seasons. The Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes as starter, have been to the AFC Championship game all 6 years. They've been to 4 Super Bowls, and they won 3 of them. And you remember 2 of those years, they didn't go to the Super Bowl. They lost in overtime. They lost in the overtime period. Against the first time in 18 against the Patriots, the same way that the Falcons lost, where the Patriots, under the old overtime rules, the Patriots had the ball first, scored on the first possession, and won the game. Chiefs never had the ball in the 2018 Championship game. And then in 2021, after the rules had changed, the Chiefs had the ball and threw an interception in overtime against the Bengals, and then the Bengals went downfield and scored and kicked a field goal. Now, from what I remember about that 21 game, the Chiefs had several chances to win that game. I believe the last possession of regulation, they were well within the Cincinnati red zone with a chance to to score a touchdown, and then they ended up kicking a field goal. And then they also had a blown opportunity before halftime in 21. They had a chance to kick a field goal, and instead they went for it on fourth down on a pass to Hill deep in the red zone. And then Tyreek Hill, I think he ended up either going out of bounds on the last play before halftime or getting tackled with the clock running down. So the point is, the Chiefs have been very close. They could very easily have been in 6 straight Super Bowls. They are a dynasty. And even prior to the Mahomes era, if you want to count the 5 years prior to that when Andy Reid's been the head coach, he's been there 11 years. I believe all 11 seasons they've been a winning team, 10 years in the playoffs. But most of their postseason success obviously has come since Mahomes has been the starter. Chiefs have now won four Super Bowls now, counting Super Bowl IV from 1970. If you've ever seen the old NFL Films clip of Hank Stram talking, that was Super Bowl IV, the last Super Bowl before the NFL-AFL merger in 1970. And last game of the old American Football League. So the Chiefs, I suppose, are working on their second dynasty. 49ers, they, ironically, Kyle Shanahan, who's been on the losing end of both Super Bowls versus the Chiefs, he was also the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons in that previously mentioned Super Bowl versus the Patriots. So hard luck for him in all those games. So quite a Super Bowl. And now the NFL season is over, and we move on to the United Football League season. So football never ends. I guess it's just taking a break right now. And the UFL season will start on March 30th. And we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we will get into the regular season schedule and the breakdown of how many games and who's playing who how many times. We'll be right back after this short break. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Today, we're going over the United Football League schedule. The season starts March 30th, so in another, what's today? Today's Valentine's Day. Okay, so February 14th, we have another, by my math, 29 days in February, so we have another 45 days. Another 6.5 weeks we got to fill until the UFL season starts. So just to recap the conferences, there are 8 teams in the United Football League, 4 teams in the XFL Conference, 4 teams in the USFL Conference. The XFL teams are the Arlington Renegades, St. Louis Battlehawks, San Antonio Brahmas, and DC Defenders. The USFL clubs are the Houston Roughnecks, Birmingham Stallions, Memphis Showboats, and Michigan Panthers. So the way the schedule is set up, there will be 10 regular season weeks, 4 games each. In each conference, there's 4 teams per conference. In the XFL and USFL conference, each team plays the other 3 teams in their conference twice. So each team will play a total of 6 conference games, and then they'll play everybody else in the other conference once. So everybody will play everybody this year, just like previous years. But 6 conference games or intra-conference games, 4 inter-conference games among the opposite conference. So there will be 12 games within the total of 12 games within the XFL conference, 12 within the USFL conference, and then in the inter-conference games, there will be 16. So, for example, Arlington, St. Louis, San Antonio, and D.C. will each play Houston, Birmingham, Memphis, and Michigan. So by my math, that's 4 times 4, 16 games. So we'll look at those games first and when they're being played. So first you have Arlington will play on the road against Houston. So last year it was 2 games because the Roughnecks were a XFL club in the same division as the Renegades. This year there's only 1, so the Battle of Texas, or one of the Battles of Texas, Arlington and Houston will just be one game, and that'll be in Houston. And then Houston will also – well, Houston will be at home versus San Antonio. They'll be on the road against San Antonio on May 12th and against D.C. on April 7th. They will be on the road at St. Louis on May 4th. I'll just give you the dates and tell you who's playing. I don't know exactly where yet, but St. Louis versus Houston, May 4th. Arlington versus Houston, April 21st. San Antonio versus Houston, that's another battle of Texas, May 12th. D.C. versus Houston, April 7th. Then Birmingham versus the XFL teams. St. Louis and Birmingham, May 11th. Circle that one. That should be a good one. Of course, we don't know the quarterback situation of either team as of yet. A.J. McCarron, the Battlehawks quarterback from last season, and Alex Magoo, the Stallions quarterback. I believe they're both currently on NFL rosters. I think McCarron was on, I want to say Cincinnati, and Magoo was on Green Bay. So it remains to be seen if they will be the starters. If not, then I know Birmingham at least has Jamar Smith, who was a starter back in 2022. So that will be on May 11th. And the first game to open the season will be Birmingham will be on the road in Arlington, the two champions, Arlington being the XFL champion, Birmingham being the USFL champion. So that'll be March 30th. Then San Antonio versus Birmingham, Memorial Day weekend, May 25th. And here's another game that should be interesting. Birmingham versus D.C., since D.C. was considered to be the top team in the XFL last season with a 9-1 record. That will be on April 20th. And then moving right along here, St. Louis and Memphis. That game will also be in St. Louis. So that should be an interesting border war. I suppose that'll be April 20th, which will be week four. So St. Louis, Missouri versus Memphis, Tennessee. The two cities aren't that far from each other. They both have excellent barbecue. St. Louis, of course, they were 7-3 last season. They did not go to the playoffs because of the way the playoff structure was. They were kept out of it. So it should be a good game. They led the league in attendance too. The XFL, they had well over 20,000, 30,000 per game. I believe it was up there. So we'll see how many showboat fans make the long trip to St. Louis. And then you have Arlington and Memphis on May 11th. San Antonio and Memphis, April 6th. D.C. and Memphis, May 26th. Then you have St. Louis versus Michigan. That'll be an opening week game, April 30th, on that Saturday. Arlington versus Michigan, May 5th. San Antonio against Michigan, April 20th. And D.C., Michigan, May 12th. So those are your 16 interconference games. Should be some good ones. I mean, you have the Texas matchup. So you have the Arlington-Houston one, the San Antonio-Houston. You have Birmingham and Arlington, the two champions. Birmingham and D.C., which everybody, all the spring football fans last year thought were the two best teams in each league. You have the regional game between St. Louis and Memphis. So, I mean, those are just some of the games. Like I said, a total of 16. It'll be interesting to gauge how that goes, the 16 games against each other, to see if any one gets the if either conference gets the lead in that, that would determine possibly which conference is the stronger conference and maybe which league was the stronger last season. I don't know. Some comparisons would be between the NFL and AFL when they merged in 1970. The NFL was considered the stronger league. Even after the New York Jets won Super Bowl III team for team, the NFL was considered stronger. And I believe that was a correct assumption because in the early years of the after 1970, the NFL teams did dominate the AFL head-to-head. I believe they played each other about 40 games total during that those scheduling years, which would have been 1970, 1977. So it'd be interesting to go back and look at the numbers on that. So, like I said, this will give us a good idea of not only who the best teams are now, our best conferences are now, and possibly maybe what they were last year. Now, last season, it was interesting. The XFL South versus the XFL North, the North had a huge lead head-to-head. Don't remember the numbers right now, but they had a pretty good lead. They had three teams that were at least 6-4, so they had a 9-1 team, a 7-3 team, and they had a 9-1 team and two 7-3 teams. And in the South, they only had one team over 500. That was Houston at 7-3. It was quite the opposite over in the USFL. All four teams in the South were 500 or better, and all four teams in the North were below 500. So I believe Birmingham was 9-1, New Orleans 7-3, Houston and Memphis both 5-5. So that would be a total of, I'm just doing some quick math here. So they had a 12-game edge of the in the 16, and I guess in the the 16 games over in the USFL, it would have been. Meanwhile, I'm doing some math here. Okay, so overall in the 40 games in the XFL, the North had a 25-15 game lead. So they had a 10-game edge head-to-head in the North had a 10-game edge head-to-head in the XFL, but the South had a 12-game edge in the head-to-head in the USFL. So obviously the South, USFL South and the XFL North were the stronger divisions. Now with the teams kind of mixed up, it's hard to tell. You have two teams from the XFL South, two teams from the XFL North are now in one conference, and then three teams from the USFL South are in the USFL conference. Now only Michigan made it from the North into the UFL. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll just kind of go over what the schedule looks like, the playoffs and championship game schedule is like as well. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We've broken down the schedule. Oh, we also wanted to go over some of the division conference matchups. First in the XFL, so Arlington versus St. Louis, those dates will be April 6th and May 25th. Arlington versus San Antonio, April 27th, May 19th. Arlington versus D.C., a rematch of the XFL championship game, April 13th, and then the regular season finale on June 2nd. San Antonio versus St. Louis, April 14th and June 1st. San Antonio versus D.C., March 31st and May 5th. St. Louis and D.C., which has been a good rivalry, that will be April 28th and May 19th. And head-to-head, those teams also played in 2020. They played one game. D.C. swept St. Louis last year, so D.C. is 3-0 versus St. Louis, but Don't let that fool you. It's good rivalry. There was a I think there was a fight at the end of one of their games last season. So an intense rivalry there. Okay, then over in the USFL, Houston and Birmingham will play April 27th and May 18th. Houston and Memphis will be March 31st, opening week, and then the finale, June 2nd, so the first week and the last week. Houston and Michigan, April 14th, May 26th. Birmingham and Memphis, which is now the battle of the South now with New Orleans gone, and if you want to, I guess, count Florida, they're also out. So two remaining Deep South teams, April 13th and May 4th for for Birmingham and Memphis. Birmingham and Michigan, April 7th, so week two, and then the finale, June 1st. And then Memphis and Michigan will be April 28th and May 18th. So all the division matchups will be, they'll all be division matchups on week 10, the regular season finale. Now, just to give you an idea of what the schedule is like, week one, on March 30th and 31st, you'll have two games on each day. Week two, April 6th and 7th, these are Saturdays and Sundays, same, 2-2. April 13th, same, 2-2. April 20th, you will have three games. This is the current schedule, it's subject to change. There will be three games week four, April 20th on Saturday, an afternoon game, and an interesting, two primetime games scheduled. I'm not sure how that happened. And only one game on Sunday, April 21st, that'll be one of the Texas games, Arlington at Houston. Week five, Saturday, April 27th, we're back, and Sunday, April 28th, we're back to the 2-2, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Saturday, we'll have two primetime games. In fact, it looks like all the Saturdays have at least one primetime game. So that's midseason. Then week six, starting the second half of the season, May 4th and May 5th, 2-2 again. No primetime game. Week seven, May 11th and May 12th, 2-2. No primetime games. Week eight, Saturday, May 18th, 2-2. One primetime game. That will be Houston at Birmingham on ESPN2. Week 9, 2-2, no primetime games. And then your semifinals will be Saturday. Sorry, week 10 will be 2-2, one primetime game, Houston at Memphis on Fox. Your conference championships, which are also your semifinals, will be one will be on Saturday, one on Sunday. The Saturday game is scheduled for 3 o'clock, Sunday to be determined. And then the UFL championship game will be scheduled Sunday, June 16th, the following Sunday, on Fox. TBA, as far as a location and a time. There's been rumors that it could be in St. Louis. That's not confirmed. Last season, the XFL championship game was in San Antonio, and USFL the past 2 years has been in Canton, Ohio. So we don't know where that'll be yet, but there will be no week in between the conference championships and the championship. In the XFL, you had 2 weeks between them. USFL the past 2 years, there was no week between the semis and the championship. And just go back to week one. Yeah, no primetime games, but just to give you an idea who's playing week one, Birmingham and Arlington, 1 o'clock on Fox. St. Louis and Michigan, 4 p.m. Fox. I believe these are East Coast times. So adjust your schedule accordingly. So in Arlington, for example, that would be a looks like a noon game. So a Fox doubleheader on Saturday, opening week. Sunday, an ESPN doubleheader at noon Eastern, 3 o'clock Eastern. Week 2, we'll have a Saturday primetime game, Arlington at St. Louis. Week 3, Memphis at Birmingham, primetime game on Fox. Week 4 has 2 primetime games. I don't know if that's a misprint or time's wrong or it's wrong. You have 2 primetime games on Fox for whatever reason. Week 5, again, 2 primetime games on Fox at 7. Week on that Saturday. Week 6, no primetime games. Week 7, no primetime games. Week 8, Houston at Birmingham, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. That's the primetime game on May 18th, Saturday. Week 9, no primetime games. Week 10, one primetime game, Houston at Memphis on Fox. Also, the network that will carry the UFL will be Fox, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. I suggest you check your schedules or I wanted to say your TV guide, but nobody has TV guide. But check your guides on your streaming service or cable or whatever you use for those channels, ESPN, ABC, and Fox, ESPN2. If you're also confused about when the games are, go to the website, which I believe is, look it up. It is www.theufl.com. It should give you a schedule for the season, and then you could look at that on a weekly basis. So that's your schedule. All 40 regular season games. And I know we still have 6.5 more weeks. It's hard to believe, but last season, I know the XFL started right after the Super Bowl, but we got to wait another 6.5 weeks. So enjoy your football break for the year. And we'll continue to give you updates on what's happening. I know we didn't go over last show we did go over some of the dispersal draft players, but we didn't give any in-depth coverage of how that could affect the balance of the teams. Some of the quarterbacks will be coming back. We know that Luis Perez will be back with Arlington. As we mentioned before, McCarron with St. Louis and Magoo with Alabama, Mr. Magoo, with Birmingham, their statuses are uncertain because they're currently on NFL rosters. So we'll have to wait and see. And those were two of the top quarterbacks in the spring league the past few seasons. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoyed our show. Check out that schedule, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.